Luke chapter number 10, and we're going to read one verse together, reading from the King James Bible. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 20, Luke 10, 20. And let's read together, shall we? Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I'm going to talk this morning about heaven. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. I want to thank you, dear God, that there is a place called heaven. That's why we're here assembled here today. That's why we have a Bible. That's why, Lord, we have church. And that's why, dear God, that you came and died on a cross so that you could pay the sins of all mankind, to pay for their sins so they wouldn't have to go to a place called hell, so that we could go to heaven. Now, dear God, please help us to pay attention this morning about heaven. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Luke chapter number 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Heaven is the final destination. Heaven is the goal. The reason we teach and preach so much about the King James Bible, why it's the Word of God, is because the enemy knows that every church and every person that does not believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, number one, will eventually lose their zeal for winning souls to Jesus Christ. Number two, will eventually change the simple plan of salvation to a work salvation. Number three, we'll add works to salvation, like baptism, good works, a good life, and then demand fruit of their salvation to prove that they're really saved. Number four, we'll discourage and criticize easy believism and mock and criticize soul winners. Number five, we'll stop stressing the reality of hell and the lake of fire for all lost sinners rejecting Jesus Christ. Six, they'll start building kingdoms here below instead of getting people to the kingdom of heaven above. Seven, they'll think their church building is more important than God's building, the people that are called out assembly. Number eight, because they'll change their doctrines because of all the modern perversions that change the doctrines from the King James Bible. Number nine, because they'll become sophisticated and suave and debonair and lofty and holier than thous instead of soul winners and street preachers. Number 10, because they will make their church more important than salvation. This is why we stress the King James Bible. This is what happens to people that change from the King James Bible and use other modern day perversions. Because number 11, they'll make people doubt their salvation and make people question their salvation after they trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. Number 12, they'll threaten people spiritually that they're not really saved if they don't give enough money in the offerings. Number 13, they'll twist the scriptures to teach heresies that conform to the sinful thoughts of modern day society. Number 14, they'll say that the old time religion and the old guard of fundamentalism are legalists and don't really love people. And the list goes on and on. Do you ever wonder why we have white lines and yellow lines painted on the highways? Do you ever wonder why there's labels on men's bathrooms and ladies' bathrooms? Do you ever wonder why there's labels on all the prescription drugs that you're prescribed from a doctor? Do you ever wonder why there's a description and ingredients listed on products that you buy from the food store? Have you ever thought why we have red lights or stop signs? Do you ever wonder why we have warning lights or flashing signs? Do you ever wonder why we have reflectors on streets and guardrails? It's not because they're legalists or they're because they want to protect people from killing themselves and hurting other people. These things are important because they keep you safer than if they had not been there. Those things are there for your safety because someone's trying to protect you from danger. Those protections are not there because someone hates people. Our society has decided that it would benefit people to have all those safeguards put in place so that people will not get hurt. They'll not get hit. They will not die needlessly. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, We have standards and guidelines in the Word of God, and God put them in there to protect us because He loves us. But the folks that use these modern-day perversions will tell you, well, these old-time fundamentalists, they don't really love people. They're too strict and too old-fashioned, and they're too narrow-minded and too pharisaical. They don't really love people. When you stop obeying the standards of separation from the King James Bible, then people will die needlessly of overdoses and suicides and drunkenness and venereal diseases and murder and lung cancer and throat cancer and smoking cancer sticks from cirrhosis of the liver because of their alcohol, their wine, their beer, their champagne, their liquor, their booze, or whatever else you want to call it. They'll commit suicide, die from depression and loneliness. Divorce is rampant. Suicide is going off the charts. Crime is abundant. The jails and prisons are full. The courts and lawyers are busy. The bails and bondsmen are busy. There's plea deals and confessions and misdemeanors and felonies. Marriage is falling apart because they think that God is too strict. Because they heard somebody say that, well, they're legalists. They don't really love people. You need the old-time religion because God loves you. He wants to protect you. That's why we're supposed to have walls, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. Individual, spiritual walls. Just like a nation should have walls to protect its sovereignty and its people. They're not there because the wall builder hates people. They're there because the wall builder loves and cares for the people inside the walls. So people are working on their second and third and fourth marriages or shacking up. They're fornicating, committed adultery. Children turning out to be queers and sodomites. Children turning out to be left-wing socialists who hate God. Send their kids to government schools to be indoctrinated. Turn out potheads and drunks, whores and prostitutes, tramps and rebels. Becoming slothful and lazy bums who beg for money when they're physically able to work. Addicted to video games and ball games and sports and music and politics and money and power. Why? Because of backslidden, stubborn, disobedient rebel evangelicals and non-denominational mush that use a perversion have watered down the gospel, watered down the Bible, watered down salvation. They no longer preach on a hell that's hot, where the fire never goes out with no escape. They almost never preach that a person needs to be saved from hell. I can't even find it on fundamental Baptist tracts anymore. What they say is, ask Jesus into your life. Where's that in the Bible? Absolutely nowhere. It's not in the King James Bible. And so religious people are lost on their way to hell because the devil has convinced them that they do not need the standards that you think are too strict. The world's watching you. The world is watching you. And the devil will let the world use you as an excuse when you sin against God as to why they shouldn't get saved and go to heaven the way that you say they should get saved from the King James Bible. The reason why the enemy wants to destroy you and your testimony in your life is because he knows the more he can destroy you, the more souls will die without Jesus and spend eternity in hell and miss heaven. That's what we're here for, because of heaven. That's the reason why Satan wants to destroy you and keep you depressed and discouraged and away from God. The enemy knows that. If and when you get right with God, souls will be saved from hell and souls will go to heaven when they die. Two men get on an airplane. One man is given a parachute. And the first man is told this parachute will make your trip very comfortable. This parachute will be a luxury for you. This parachute will make your life feel more comfortable. You'll enjoy your ride better with this comfortable parachute. He gets on the plane with his parachute strapped on, sits in his seat. It's real tight because he's got this parachute on his back, straps all over. It's bulky. 10 minutes into the flight, his ribs are hurting. His back's hurting. It doesn't turn out the way he was told that it was his be. So you know what he does in the middle of the flight? He takes off the parachute. He said, I don't need this, man. This is terrible. Nobody else is wearing a parachute. The second person gets on the plane after the first man. And he's given a parachute. But he's told, you need this parachute. Because if this plane crashes, you're going to need this parachute to jump out and save your life. If you don't wear this parachute, when this plane goes down, you are going to die. Make sure whatever else you do, you have this parachute on for the entire flight. That man gets on the plane, gets in his seat. It's uncomfortable. It's tight. His ribs are bothering him. His back is hurting. All he can remember is the man that gave him this parachute and said, you know what? Don't take this parachute off because your life depends on you keeping this parachute. He didn't care how uncomfortable the flight was. He didn't care if his ribs were hurting. He didn't care if his back was going out. He didn't care if it was bulky and it was unsatisfactory the way he was sitting down. He was told that you need this parachute to save your life. Hey, what have you been told about Jesus? Make your life go better? You won't find that in the Bible. Ask John the Baptist about that. Ask Jeremiah about that. Ask the Apostle Paul about that. You think everything's going smoother now with Jesus? Someone sold you a bill of goods that was a lie. You need Jesus for salvation to save you from hell, to take you to heaven when you die. That's what salvation is. The end game is heaven, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we're saved. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we have church. That's why Jesus came to die on a cross to save us from hell, to take us to heaven, not to make our lives more comfortable. What have you been told about Jesus? What have you been told about the Bible? What have you been told about salvation? Salvation is at stake. Your only hope is Jesus to take you to heaven. Jesus said there's no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not going to go to heaven through Buddha, Muhammad, or some Hindu god, or some religious works, or some denomination, or some church, or some baptism. You're going to go to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Your eternity is at stake. The only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus. There's no other way. Salvation by grace alone, not by works. Are you saved this morning? Not through the rosary, not through Mary. Are you saved this morning? It's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Jesus and Mary. Not Jesus and baptism. Not Jesus and the church. Not Jesus and anything else. Only Jesus died for our sins, and only Jesus can save us from hell. Too often church forget that the main reason we are here is to win people to Jesus Christ so that when they die, they will go to heaven. This is not to be a social club. Not to hear the latest gossip, not to see what somebody's dressing like, not to hear the latest news. That's not why we're here. We're here to encourage people to win somebody to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of church. When a church has stopped warning and winning sinners to Jesus Christ, then God will pull that candlestick out. When a church thinks something else is more important than winning people to Jesus Christ, they have lost their path. The only way a church will continue to get people to heaven is, number one, if they continue to use the King James Bible. All other modern translations are perversions, all of them. Number two, keep the pulpit hot and preach against sin. Sin will make believers lukewarm, then cold-hearted, then indifferent to the things of God. Number three, the lukewarm church will become heretical and have itching ears. Instead of going soul winning and winning the loss of Jesus Christ, they will nitpick and criticize what everyone else is doing wrong, saying wrong, teaching wrong, and living wrong. Focus on getting people saved, ladies and gentlemen. Let the preacher preach what needs to be preached from the pulpit. Number four, if you are not a soul winner, you are not right with God. Let me emphasize number four. If you are not a soul winner, you are not right with God. That's why God's giving you breath. That's why God's letting you live today so that you can witness to somebody and tell somebody about heaven only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so you can have a good time. Not so you can go to vacation. Not so you can come to church. Not so you can enjoy your life and smell the flowers on the way through. No. You're here for one purpose, to witness to somebody, to tell them about Jesus Christ so that when they die, they'll end up in heaven. Number five, ask yourself, when is the last time you personally won someone to Jesus Christ? Number six, ask yourself, when is the last time you personally witnessed to someone about getting saved? Number seven, ask yourself, when is the last time you personally handed out a gospel tract to someone? Number eight, ask yourself, when is the last time a convert of yours got baptized? Number nine, ask yourself, when is the last time your convert won someone to Jesus Christ? Number 10, ask yourself, who and how many are going to be in heaven because of you? Not because of the church collectively as a corporate body. Not because of the money that you put in the offering to help support missionaries. And God bless you for coming and God bless you for giving. I'm not asking that right now. How many people are going to be in heaven because you personally led them to Jesus Christ? Is anyone going to come up to you 1,000 years later and thank you for getting them to heaven? Will there be anybody in heaven 10,000 years later who will come up to you and say, thank you for telling me about this place? Will anybody come up to you 100,000 years later, 1,000,000 years later, 1,000,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000,000 years later? For all eternity, will anybody be there because you personally told them about Jesus? Will no one come up to you and thank you? The souls that we win to Jesus will be stars in our own crowns that we will lay down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to show him how much we love him. What are you going to give Jesus on that day? Empty hands? Must I go and empty-handed? How many stars will be in the crown that you give to Jesus to show to him and to everyone else how much you love Jesus? That's why we have a bus. That's why we have a van. That's why we have cars. That's why we pick up people. That's why we witness to people. That's why we bring them to church. To show Jesus Christ how much we really love him. If you're breathing, you can win somebody to Jesus Christ. You go online all the time. Why can't you witness to somebody? You get on the phone all the time. Why can't you talk and witness to somebody? Bible truth and Bible doctrine is important because it teaches us the right salvation. Bible standards are important because they protect us from the enemy, the world, and from our own flesh. Bible preaching is important because it convicts and encourages, it warns, and it comforts. Bible teaching is important because we learn more about Jesus who died for all to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, the Bible says. Someone once said, some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I don't believe that at all. Because if somebody were truly heavenly minded, then they would do all they can to get people here on earth saved so they can go to heaven when they die also. I remember somebody told the illustration, somebody went to an art gallery, a religious art gallery, you know, paintings and stuff like that. They're walking. I don't like going through those galleries and stuff like that. I just don't personally like it. But somebody was going through one and they saw this picture of supposedly God's hand coming out of heaven, reaching down and grabbing a man's hand, pulling them from the fires of hell. And that's a pretty good picture of salvation. God reaching out of heaven and pulling somebody out of hell, the fire. He said, well, that's one of the best paintings I ever saw in my life until he went to the next one. And there in the next painting was the hand from God reaching out of heaven, holding on to a man, pulling him up into heaven while that man had his hand on another man, pulling that man out of hell. Hey, who are you pulling out? Who are you witnessing to? Are you going to die empty-handed, not telling anybody about Jesus? Is your life going to be so empty and so vain that it's all about you? Somebody will listen. Not everybody, but somebody will listen to you. Little boy walking on the seashore saw all the starfish drying up. The waves had come in, the tide had gone out. And there were hundreds and thousands of starfish just lined up on the shore there. All of a sudden, he saw that they're going to dry up and die. He started, picked up one starfish. He just started throwing it back into the water. Picked up another starfish, threw it back into the water. Picked up another fish, starfish, just threw it back into the water. Old man sitting on a bench looking at him. A little distance. Hey, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to save these starfish. Pick it up and threw it in the water. Old man yelled back, son, you're not going to save all of this. Impossible. Picked up the next one. He says, yes, that may be true, but to this one, it means everything. He threw it back into the water. Aren't you glad somebody witnessed to you? Aren't you glad somebody shared the gospel with you? You're going to show up empty-handed? It's all about you and your vain life and your vanity. Who have you witnessed to this week? Who have you given a gospel to? I dreamed I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. We turned and saw a young man running, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Then another man stood before me and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today." One by one they came, for as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, he said, "My child, look around you. Great is your reward." You know, church ought to be a little bit like heaven, where there's love, joy, and peace. A place where Jesus is preeminent in all things, where the Bible is proclaimed and the Word of God is taught, where the lost are invited to find comfort and reconcile back to their Creator. Home ought to be a little bit like heaven, where there's love, joy, and peace. A place where Jesus is preeminent in all things, where the Bible is proclaimed as the Word of God, where the family lives together in harmony. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Are you saved this morning? Is heaven your home? Have you told anybody about your home? Have you told anybody about your God? Are you taking anybody there with you? There's no disappointment in heaven. No weariness, sorrow, nor pain. No hearts that are bleeding and broken. No song with a minor refrain. The clouds of our earthly horizon will never appear in the sky. For all will be sunshine and gladness with never a sob nor a sigh. The old will be young there forever, transformed in a moment of time. Immortal will stand in his likeness, the stars and the sun to outshine. We'll never pay rent for our mansions. The taxes will never come due. Our garments will never grow threadbare, but always be fadeless and new. You see, I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in the beautiful city of gold. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. In the beginning, God created the heaven. The Lord, he is God in heaven above. The heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. He will swallow up death and victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all eyes, all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven. Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your reason your heart's not in heaven is because you're storing all your vanity here on earth that's going to burn up one day. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Peter said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? The Bible says, Jesus said unto them, verse number 29, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold, shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I'd rather have a King James Bible, because I have heaven right here in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. After the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. As we said earlier, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that you have power over devils and over spirits. Jesus said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Some of you are so caught up with this world, your whole day, your whole week, your whole month, your whole year, your whole life is ruined because something didn't go according to the way you wanted to go to, and you forget that you're a child of God. You forget that your name's in heaven. You forget that your destination is heaven. Jesus said, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Jesus said, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Don't worry about making people Baptists. Get them saved. Get them to Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. They're one breath from hell, one breath from eternity. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you told anybody about Jesus? And he said unto Jesus, Lord, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. That was before the crucifixion and resurrection. Now, if you die, you go straight to heaven. Before, it was a paradise in the middle of the earth. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. As it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul's writing about himself, one caught up to the third heaven, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Ephesians chapter 2 says, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, you have a reservation. You may not understand this completely, but right now, you have a reservation sitting in heaven right now when you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Right now, you can't lose that reservation. Are you saved this morning? I'm already over on the other side waiting for my brand new body. Philippians 1 says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. That means God has kept us here so that other people can be helped, encouraged, blessed, and to win other people to Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. You go on YouTube and learn how to do everything else. Get your Bible out and learn how to win somebody to Jesus Christ. You can do it. Don't tell me you can't do it. God wants you to do it. God will bless you for doing it. And somebody you know is one breath from hell. You don't know if they're going to die this week or next week or this month or next month. This year or next year. You don't know. This could be your last day. This could be your last week. I don't want to go empty-handed. Sometimes we play church, we play religion. We forget there's a real place called heaven. God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You sit there and watch a movie for two, three hours, you can sit there and listen about heaven, amen? By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Where when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The heavens are the works of thine hands. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. And lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is a light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. There's no disappointment in heaven, no weariness, sorrow, nor pain, no hearts that are bleeding and broken, no song with a minor refrain. The clouds of our earthly horizon will never appear in the sky. For all will be sunshine and gladness with never a sob or a sigh. I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. The old will be young there forever, transformed in a moment of time. Immortal will stand in his likeness, the stars and the sun to outshine. We'll never pay rent for our mansions. The taxes will never come due. Our garments will never grow threadbare, but always be fadeless and new. I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Sometimes I get homesick for heaven and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. When church is open and you miss church, you are not right with God. If you're not a soul winner, you are not right with God. I'm looking forward to the day I die. I'm going to live as long as I possibly can, as long as God has me here. I'm going to preach as long and as loud as I possibly can and teach everything I can, the entire whole counsel of the Word of God. But this is not my home. My home's over yonder, where I have friends and family and strangers that I'm going to meet on the other side. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for heaven. How often we forget
how often we neglect, how often we're just so busy, caught up with the world, rat race, we forget that our neighbor's going to die one day. Our brother, our sister's going to die one day. Our dad or mom's going to die one day. Our son or daughter's going to die one day. Our grandparents, our grandkids going to die one day. That coworker's going to die one day. That church member's going to die one day. That stranger walking down the street all by himself, by herself, is going to die one day. I wonder if we're going to meet them. Either in heaven or watch them being cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Help us not to forget why we have the King James Bible. Help us not to forget why we have church. Help us not to forget why we have preaching and teaching and singing and praising and praying. Help us not to forget why we have a bus and a van and cars. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I pray if there's anybody in this room that's not saved this morning, may they get saved this morning. If they're saved, they've not been baptized, may they get baptized this morning. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, please speak to our hearts. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God.